that is, oh God, my faithful God. Today is Tuesday, August the 14th in the year of our Lord 2018, Rumination Tuesday. And with us is our good friend, the Reverend Mark Smith. Hi, Mark.
Hey, Tom. How you doing?
I'm doing real good today. We've got a long hymn here.
Yes, that's right. Six verses.
Yes. Only the first four, though, were translated by our favorite translator.
Catherine Winkworth. How about that? She just did the first four, huh?
Yes.
Huh.
Actually, originally, it was eight stanzas written between 1623 and 1630 by Johann Hermann. And it was one of the author's most difficult periods. It is said about this hymn, it is somewhat home-baked, yet it is excellent nourishing bread. It gives a training in practical Christianity and specifically strikes three notes: godly living, patient suffering, and happy dying. And, of course, this is the time of the persecution of Lutherans.
Godly living, happy dying. What was the second one?
Godly living.
Yes.
I knew you'd forget this one. Patient suffering.
Patient suffering. Oh, yes, yes. You got to have patience to work with you, yes.
And happy dying. I'm not a doctor. Are you a patient? Starting with stanza one.
You know, what's interesting about
this
hymn. Oh, yes.
Go ahead.
Is, you know, God, my faithful God, and yet really it talks about, mostly it talks about my faithfulness, being faithful myself.
Well, we'll take a look at that.
Okay.
And I just remembered, I forgot to tell you this. You know, I drive for Uber and Lyft.
Yes.
The taxis. And we were pretty busy last week. There was a golf course.
PGA.
Golf, yeah.
Right.
Kind of thing. And I picked up one pro and
really?
Took him to his hotel. And then I picked up another gentleman. He lived way in South St. Louis. Found out I was a pastor. And he said, yes, I just started sending this September or whenever your school starts to your parochial school.
Yeah, CCLS, Christ Community Lutheran School. Yes.
Now, how many churches are involved in that? Three or four?
Five.
Oh, five.
Yeah.
Okay, name them and I'll tell you which one.
See, I think I got the right number here. Webster Gardens.
That's where he sent it.
Prince of Peace.
Webster Gardens has the kindergarten.
They have the elemental grades.
Yes.
Elementary grades.
That's right.
Early grades.
Well, that's right.
And they do have the kindergarten. You're right.
Yeah.
We've got the pre-K program.
Okay.
Prince of Peace.
So he was sending his daughter there.
Uh-huh.
That was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
And we talked about it. I encouraged them to go to a different school, but okay.
No, that's one of the finer schools in the whole Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod, CCLS. We're very proud of it and very thankful for our faithful God.
Yes. So let's hear about him.
Yes.
Stanza one.
O God, my faithful God, true fountain ever flowing, without whom nothing is, all perfect gifts bestowing, give me a healthy frame, and may I have within a conscience free from blame, a soul unstained by sin.
Now, in the promo, I talked about the attributes of God.
Yes.
He's all-knowing. He's everywhere. What was the last one? All-powerful.
Well, all-powerful.
The new attribute is
faithful.
That he's faithful. What does that mean?
Well, I think, as I understand it, what this is talking about is how absolutely reliable and dependable God
is. You can't have a reliable or dependable friend unless he's reliable about something that he's told you.
Right, right. Faithful to his promises.
That's the point.
Faithful to his promises.
And so, without further ado, with this first stanza, give me a healthy frame. What does that mean?
That's our physical health.
Yes.
Physical, our bodily health.
And may I have within a conscience free from blame.
Yeah, that's what only the gospel can give us.
Yes.
Only the gospel can lift our spirits help us. Because the devil's always throwing the blame up at us. He's always throwing
Well, in one sense, it's correct that we are responsible for our sin, so yes. we should be blamed for it. But I believe here, a conscience free from blame means when you don't have a conscience free from blame, you're worried about being punished for what you've done.
Right.
And being free from blame, there's no eternal punishment.
Right.
That's what it's talking about.
Yeah. I know you've made the distinction on guilt before.
Yeah, I don't like.
You always say that the gospel, now you claim that the gospel really doesn't eliminate our guilt.
No.
I mean, our you know, the why we continue to feel guilty and
we should feel guilty.
Don't you think the gospel helps us some with that? I mean, I know, even though I know my sins are forgiven, I'm still plagued with, oh, I wish I hadn't done that. You know, I know I'm forgiven of that, but I just wish I had not.
That's your guilt. Done.
Yeah. See, now
the gospel doesn't
help with that.
No,
you don't
no.
think it helps at all?
No. Any more than...
Thank you for that encouraging word.
Yes. Take a temporal situation. You're pulled over for going over the speed limit, and you know you were, but then in court you ask whether or not he attests his equipment before he left the shop, the policeman. He says, no, I forgot to do that. And the court says, not guilty. You're still feeling guilty that you went over the speed limit
yeah.
and had to put that policeman through that,
yeah.
but you're free from punishment. So being free from punishment doesn't take away your understanding that you're guilty.
Uh-huh.
That's what I mean by that.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it'd be impossible.
I think there's a lot of people that like to think, though, that the gospel, you continue to hear the gospel, and that at least alleviates some of that feeling of guilt.
Oh, I don't think it ever does.
No. You don't think it ever does?
No, no, you're inebriated.
I think we need to really be clear on that.
Well, I'll give you another example.
What the gospel does do and what it doesn't do.
You're driving down the street, you're inebriated, and you hit a pedestrian and kill them.
Uh-huh. Yeah, there you go.
There's no way you're going to get rid of that guilt.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, yeah, you carry that the rest of your life.
That's right.
You know, we always warn our kids, be careful, you know, because if you kill somebody, you take that the rest of your days.
So I make a big distinction between guilt and a freed conscience.
Uh-huh.
This is why Christianity can't be understood, because by reason, if you're guilty, then you shouldn't have a free conscience.
Uh-huh.
But in Christianity, it's the only religion where you get a free conscience even though you're guilty.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
So I mean, if we don't...
The free conscience is given us by God's promises.
Yes,
of
yes,
forgiveness,
yes.
But not...
A lot of people's guilt is over the punishment they're going to receive.
Yeah, right, right.
Now,
and that is taken away.
No, it's not.
Well, wait.
In the temporal realm, there is no forgiveness.
You're right. In the temporal realm...
Yes.
Yeah, I remember... I don't know if you've ever been down to Fort Smith, Arkansas.
No.
But the hanging judge, Judge Zebulon Parker,
uh-huh.
hung 79 people during his justice.
Uh-huh.
And he would always say his closing words when he gives the execution, and may God have mercy upon your soul.
Yes.
He would always say that. But you know, he still believed in justice.
Yeah. We need to understand...
Yeah.
That forgiveness doesn't take away the consequences of your temporal sin.
Yeah. I always say, you know, Jesus was on the cross, and he could have, if he wanted to, he could have taken the prisoner down next to him, but he didn't.
Now, you know who understands that too far is the Roman Catholic Church.
Uh-huh.
Purgatory is the place where you get rid of the rest of the consequences of your temporal sin.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, your eternal sin is forgiven in Roman Catholic theology at the cross.
But the temporal sin is not.
No.
What you do on this earth.
No, no. You have to balance it out, and that's why...
I don't understand what is forgiven by... In their thinking, now, let's not confuse the people, but in their thinking, what is forgiven?
Your eternal... punishment.
Your eternal punishment.
Yes.
But you still have to go through several hundred thousand years of purgatory.
Well, it depends. My grandmother was a strong Roman Catholic and would give me the sheet with how many years and this sort of thing and how to get out of them. I had a really good friend whose sister would go to church on All Saints Day because she was told if you went then, you could get any of your relatives out of purgatory, and she was going to get her aunt out.
Oh.
So,
I got good news. If she believed in Jesus Christ, she's already out.
That's right. That's right. That's why they're called saints. Stanza two, please.
Yes. Grant me the strength to do with ready heart and willing whatever you command, my calling here fulfilling. That I do what I should while trusting you to bless the outcome for my good, for you must give success.
The Apostle Paul, does he agree with that in Romans 7?
I'm sure he does.
Grant me the strength to do with ready heart and willing. Remember he says,
the good that I would, I do not. The evil that I would not, that I do. Well, I mean, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God and Jesus Christ.
Right, but I believe he does agree with the first sentence. Grant me the strength to do with ready heart and willing. He says,
well, we always pray that.
No, I'm talking about Paul.
Okay, Paul.
In Romans 7, he says, I know what I'm supposed to do.
Yes, right.
That's where he's ready, heart, and willing.
Right.
But unable to do it because of the old Adam.
The spirit is willing, the flesh is weak.
Exactly. And I think that would be the verse here. They only got three verses at the bottom of this hymn, but there's about 30 of them.
Yeah, right.
That's verse has.
Yeah.
Stanza three, please.
Keep me from saying words that later need recalling. Guard me lest idle speech may from my lips be falling. But when within my place I must and ought to speak, then to my words give grace, lest I offend the weak.
You know, that's something I really follow a lot when I'm driving Uber. Yeah.
You need to read this about 100 times a day, Tom.
Yeah. Keep me from saying words. I had two inebriated guys I picked up at the golf course, and guess where they were going? To the gambling boat.
Oh, is that right?
Yes. And the one who sat right behind me, every time he would say something, he kept hitting me in my shoulder, trying to get my attention.
Uh-huh.
Then he found out I was a pastor.
Oh, and then it gets real quiet.
No. He says, oh, I sure hope I don't die because I've really been a bad person. And boy, did that give me the opportunity to tell him Lutheran theology.
Absolutely.
Which he had never heard. But there were two of them. I think they were a father and son. The son was pretty good, but the one who was really inebriated, keep me from saying words. Almost every sentence had the F word this kind of thing in it. You know, and here I had the opportunity to offend the weak. I said, look, I'm a pastor. I don't appreciate that kind of language in this taxi.
But you...
Oh, I did not do that because I want to get a tip.
Right.
So... No, I
you were gentle, right?
Yeah.
I hope.
Somewhat, yes.
Yeah.
In fact, I had two girls, and one of them found out I was a pastor. She was in the back seat, and the other girl was in the front seat, and she used the bad word also, almost in her sense, the one in the front seat. And the one in the back said, finding out I was preaching the next day, what are you going to preach on? Well, I'm going to preach on what your friend here was doing.
Yeah. You just gave me all my illustrations.
Yes. And the fact was, is the Bible makes very clear, the sermon was about that a lot of times we do a secret sin that we're unaware of.
Yes, that's right.
And I said, she was doing secret sins because, and I looked at her and I said, you don't think when you were swearing that was a sin? She said, no, I don't think it was. And so it was a good example to the one in the back seat. Who was uncomfortable with her swearing, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I didn't get a tip from them either. Okay, stanza four.
Lord, let me win my foes with kindly words and actions, and let me find good friends for counsel and correction. Help me, as you have taught, to love both great and small, and by your Spirit's might to live in peace with all.
Now, I hear this kind of a verse done by a lot of pastors, that we need to be kind when we're speaking to other friends.
Yes.
And the only thing that comes to mind is a number of times Jesus to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan.
Right.
How was that kind?
Yeah, he's pretty straightforward.
Well, it was.
Yeah. Well, he was kind in that, you know, he didn't let Satan impede his heading toward Jerusalem for his death.
And
you know what I was?
Peter become a servant of Satan.
Uh-huh, right.
He was
right.
Acting towards him in kind. See, a lot of times when we use the word kind, people think that means the people you're talking to thinks you are kind.
Mm-hmm.
No, it means that God thinks you are kind in what you're doing and loving. Like he said to the Pharisees, your father is the devil. None of them went home and said, boy, guess what? What good news I heard today. So Jesus was not kind when you give the law. I don't see how you can give the law properly and have the person think you're kind.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah, it can have the impact where they say, you know, I guess you are right. I am a sinner.
But reflecting back on it after episode, I think the person might, like with Peter, this when he said that, get thee behind me, Satan, it must have stunned him.
Oh.
I mean, can you imagine Peter's the look on his face?
Well, let me ask you this, using another example. When parents discipline their children,
yes.
Are they being kind?
Yes, they are.
Yes,
really.
They are. Yeah.
The kid will say, don't you love me anymore?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I mean, how many times did my dad say, you know, I know you're not liking this, but when you become a parent, you'll do the same thing. I said, no, I won't. I became a parent. I did the same thing.
You know what's interesting about this hymn? This sounds like it was written by a pastor that has gone back to his study and is regretting what he said to somebody. Doesn't it sound like that to you? Sounds like some you know how sometimes we don't weigh our words quite as carefully as we should. Maybe we're a little bit hard on somebody and we go back and we think, oh, maybe.
Well, that's what you just read. Yeah,
that's what
Keep
it is.
Keep me from saying words that later need recalling.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. What does James say?
This is a pastor's prayer,
this
really.
This could be. What's the worst part of your body, according to James?
The tongue.
Yes. Stanza four.
I think we just did stanza four, didn't we?
No. Oh.
No. Lord, let me win my foes with kindly words and actions, and let me find good friends for counsel and correction. Help me, as you have taught, to love both great and small, and by your Spirit's might, to live in peace with all. I think we just read that.
All right, then do stanza five.
Do five. Let me depart this life confiding in my Savior. By grace, receive my soul that it may live forever, and let my body have a quiet resting place within a Christian grave, and let it sleep in peace.
See, this is where your point was at the beginning of the hymn. It says, oh God, my faithful God, and yet in stanza five, let me depart this life confiding in my Savior.
Yeah.
And what's a synonym for confiding?
Confiding, reposing, leaning on
trust.
My Savior. Trusting in Him. Yes,
yes.
That's right.
To confide in someone means you trust in that individual.
That's right.
So when we depart this life confiding in my Savior, that leads us to heaven.
Of course.
And that's why the Reformation is we're saved by grace through faith alone.
Right.
Works don't count. In fact, find anywhere in this hymn where works make a difference in whether you go to heaven or hell.
No, that's right.
Never.
No, works. We're justified. It's already been established by God's grace in Christ.
Faith and grace are the big things. So depart this life while I trust in my Savior. And then what's the very next line? By grace, receive
my soul.
And there we have the Reformation right there.
Mm-hmm.
Final stanza, which is the final day.
The resurrection. And on that final day, when all the dead are waking, stretch out your mighty hand, my deathly slumber breaking. And let me hear your voice, redeem this earthly frame, and bid me to rejoice with those who love your name. Boy, won't that be something on the last day when we're all raised?
Issues, et cetera.
What will that be like, huh?
Issues, et cetera. I do the Sunday school. And last week I did it, and I made the point during the Emmaus that they didn't recognize Jesus. So it was not seeing him. It was rather hearing his voice.
Right.
And that's what it says right here. Then let me hear your voice. redeem this earthly frame.
My sheep hear my voice, and they know me, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. And they will never perish, neither shall anyone pluck them out of my hand. My sheep hear my voice. We recognize the Savior's voice.
Does the Savior's voice ever occur in liturgy?
Well, sure. The words, all throughout the liturgy, right?
Scripture, etc. Yeah. But there's a specific, in the stead.
You're talking about the absolution.
Yes.
Yes, that's his voice. You're right, that's his voice. Our lips pronounce it, but
He uses our lips.
Exactly.
And then, of course, do you have the power to change bread and wine into body and blood?
No. But
so it's
by the authority.
Voice,
yes.
Also.
Right.
That's doing that.
His words of consecration.
And those words, therefore, are really important. On that final day when all the dead are waking. Now, that's important.
That's right.
It's believers and unbelievers.
That's right, yes.
And what we're asking there is, in our particular slumber, our deathly slumber, that he would stretch out our hand and break that and let me hear his voice. And that voice will not be heard by those in hell.
No, that's right.
Yeah. And redeem this earthly frame. What does that mean? I mean, a child, they don't understand.
It'll be glorified. Our frame, although it's brought from the dust, having decayed all those years, it'll be glorified.
Yes. You see, the first stanza talks about, give me a healthy frame.
Right.
So that's talking about a temporal wellness. But the last stanza is talking about a eternal
frame. This mortal must put on immortality.
To redeem means to buy out of slavery, which Adam and Eve fell us all into by following Satan. And so to redeem this means we no longer have a body that's in slavery to Satan.
Right.
I had a good friend who did not think that maybe in heaven he was blind or is blind, and he doesn't think he's not going to be blind in heaven.
He thinks he's going to be blind also in heaven?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
I really disagreed with him on
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah. I don't.
No.
I would too.
We're going to be restored. And, I mean, with all the people up there, he's going to be bumping into everybody all the time.
I would think you'd miss an awful lot if you're blind in heaven, in that new heaven and new earth.
Yeah, have you ever thought of all the senses that we have, what would be the worst one for a pastor to lose?
I would think blindness.
Yeah, I think so, too.
A lot of them will disagree with you on that. You know, they'll
deaf?
I think I'd rather be deaf than blind, but a lot of I can think of blind people that would say, "Oh no, they disagree. You should see what I hear." They would say.
That's true. And with today's internet, there aren't too many books you can't listen to.
Yeah.
Rather than have to read. So it's not as, shall we say, as bad as it was before.
Right.
But
a lot of information accessible. Even to the blind.
Exactly. So, whether you're blind or not, they can attend your services, right?
That's right. Every Sunday at 9 a.m. at Prince of Peace Lutheran Church. And Saturday evening, if you can't come Sunday, but you can come Saturday evening, 5 p.m. Essentially, the same service is offered. 8646 New Sappington Road.
You almost forgot your address?
Yes. I'm in my 60s, Tom. I have these senior moments once in a while.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well,
just south of the Watson-New Sappington intersection. We'd love to have you at Prince of Peace Lutheran Church.
And the Bible study on Sunday is about?
About angels and demons.
Still doing that?
Yes.
Okay. Sounds very good. And at this point, it sounds like you'll be available next Tuesday.
Right. That's my hope. Yes.
Okay. I'm Tom Baker, and you've been listening to myself and Mark Smith. God bless, and tomorrow, Insight Wednesday.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday morning at 9:30 on Worldwide KFUO. For a tax-deductible gift to Law and Gospel, please make your check payable to Concordia Mission Society and mail it to Tom Baker, P.O. Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri, 63132. To give online, visit lawandgospel101.com or call toll-free 1-877-267-1962.
Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.